Hey, good morning again. Let me just say one more time how glad we are to have you here this morning. We are in week three of this series called This Too Shall Pass, where we are trying to learn some good lessons. We're trying to look at the things that maybe God wants us to learn, the lesson that God wants us to learn in the midst of the moments, in the midst of the seasons that do not last in our life. And this morning, I don't want to assume that every season is like a horrible one. I don't want to assume that every season is just awful and we're just waiting and hoping and wishing for it to pass, because the truth is that's not always the case. And oftentimes, we experience seasons in life that are really happy and healthy too, right? It seems like there are some times when, you know, we could have like a new life is good hat for every single day of the week. You see those hats and the shirts, life is good. You see people wearing those and you're like, well, hey, good for you. My kids are throwing carrots at me right now, but you know, I'm glad things are going well for you, right? But that's just the truth, right? Sometimes life is good. But the reality is that season does not always last either. And yet there is still a great lesson that I think God wants us to learn in the middle of those kind of seasons. A lesson that I think could change the makeup of our heart. I think a lesson that even could start to change the makeup and the landscape of the communities that we live in. And so that's what I really want to talk about today. And I'm glad you could be here to hopefully learn that lesson with all of us here this morning. Let me start off by asking you this question about experiencing the good life. Do you ever feel like you have to apologize? You don't have to raise your hand or nod your heads or anything. Maybe just ask yourself inside. But do you ever feel like you have to apologize for enjoying something or experiencing something good in life? It's like, oh man, I'm sorry, feel bad, right? This is probably indicative of like maybe some kind of like personal issue that I have that I need to work out. But I feel like I'm always like doing this, apologizing somehow if I have or experience or do something nice. Or if I buy something nice or if I own something nice or enjoy something kind of special. It's like somehow you feel like you have to have an explanation for it. Like, well, it was on sale. You know, it was a gift. Someone gave it to us. Hey, we've been saving up for this. It was just a Craigslist thing. No big deal. It was just one night away. It wasn't a big deal. It was nothing. It was nothing huge, nothing big, right? We feel like, got to have some kind of explanation for it. And truthfully, I hate when I do that, because in the end, it's just really pretty silly when we start kind of coming up with excuses like this. But I don't think it's just me. Actually, I see this, you know, from more people in more places, right? The people who feel like they need to justify themselves when they've got something good going on. And I think there's a couple of reasons why that happens. Number one, I think we just get weird with, you know, money and wealth and possessions and stuff, right? We're always sizing people up, right? We're glad that we have more than them over here, but we're glad that we can always point to them as having way more than us, right? So we're always kind of sizing people up and we get silly about this stuff. But number two, I think more in general, and this is what I want to try to talk about this morning. Number two, just generally speaking, I think there's a little part of us that gets uncomfortable when we experience something good, just in general. I think sometimes, even in church, I think we get this kind of weird message, you know, as time goes on. I think we get this weird message that somehow Christians shouldn't really, like, prosper in life. And I'm not talking prosperity gospel stuff. It's not what I'm talking about today. But I think we just get this weird message that Christians, you know, that we shouldn't prosper, shouldn't have a good life. Christians shouldn't be wealthy. We shouldn't have or do or experience nice stuff. We shouldn't have nice things. And whether we agree with that or not, I think we don't know what to do when we do have nice things, when we do experience a good life or enjoy something good. We don't know what to do about it. And I think this just goes for life in general, not just with things that we have and stuff that we do, but I think it goes just for life in general. I think sometimes we get uncomfortable a little bit when life is going kind of good. The truth is, I've worked in a lot of ministry settings for most of my adult life, leading people in matters of faith and encouraging people to share stories about the faith journey that they're on. And almost every time, without fail, almost every time, every place I go, I see the same thing. It's people who feel like God has been good to them. It's people who feel like they're maybe just experiencing a good, steady, happy, healthy life that talk, when they're encouraged to share, they talk as if it's something that this kind of good life that they're experiencing, they talk as if it's something like they've got to apologize for in groups, right? It's like, well, I don't know. I mean, I feel kind of bad. Life is life is good, or I mean, I don't know, I feel bad, you know, things are just going well for me, or I've got a great job, and you know, marriage is good, I feel bad, right? I see this all the time, when life is going good, maybe God has blessed people, they kind of feel like they have to apologize for it, like we're embarrassed, or almost tempted to make something up about maybe why life isn't as good as it really is. I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but I see it all the time. And so the question I want to ask this morning is this. Can you be a Christian? Can you be a follower of Jesus and still be living the good life? Can you be a Christian and still be happy, healthy, wealthy, and wise? Right? That's the question I want to ask this morning. And when we turn to the Bible, which is where I always turn to for answers. When we turn to the Bible to answer that question, here's the answer that I think we find to this question. Can we be a Christian and still be happy, healthy, wealthy, and wise? Can we be a Christian and still enjoy a good life? When we turn to the Bible, here's the answer that I think we find. Yes, we can. In fact, I think we're going to see that Christians can and should be living life to the full every single second on one condition. On one condition. We can be and we should be living life to the max, to the full, enjoying the best of life that we can every single time on one condition. And that's the condition, that's the one condition that I want to try to help us uncover here this morning. And so to do so, we're going to actually turn to one of the books of the Bible that talks more about the ups and downs, the good and the bad in life more than any other book. It's the book of Ecclesiastes. Tradition says that Ecclesiastes was written by King Solomon in his old age, and there were two major things that we know about King Solomon. First, God blessed him with wisdom beyond what had ever been known before, considered the wisest man who ever lived in his day. Second, Solomon is probably the wealthiest person up to that point in history. And so God gave him wisdom and God gave him wealth, and that is a pretty powerful combination, right? But this wisdom that God gave him and his obedience to God with it all, it was not always perfect. Big surprise, right? He was a human, just like you and me. It was not perfect. And so by the time he wrote Ecclesiastes, he had been through major ups and major downs in his spiritual life, in his emotional life, in his personal life, and in his financial life. And he had seen it all. And at this point, he's now ready to talk about it. And he has a lot to say about enjoying the life that we've been given, enjoying the life that there is to enjoy. Over and over again, he almost seems to be saying the very same thing. And so I just want us to kind of wade in and start to see a little bit of what he has to say. And we're going to jump right in with Ecclesiastes 9:7. He's saying, look, I've seen it all. This isn't worth it. That's not worth it. It's all meaningless. And then here's what he says. He says, so go ahead. Enjoy your food with joy and drink your wine with a happy heart. I just got some of your attention, right? You're going, okay, man, I should read the Bible more often. Okay, he says, go ahead. God approves of this. Heck, wear fine clothes with a splash of cologne. He's saying, go ahead. So the question is, why would he give this kind of advice? Here's why, I think, a little bit. A few verses later, here's what he says this. He says, people can never predict when hard times might come, like a fish in the net or birds in a trap. People are caught by sudden tragedy. The point is this. He said, we're not guaranteed anything. Not guaranteed anything. And we do not know what tomorrow brings. So I think he's saying, hey, enjoy today while it lasts. And this is not the only time that he comes to this conclusion. Let's keep going. Ecclesiastes 8:15, he says it like this. After realizing that evil people, he says, are treated like great people and great people are treated like evil people, he says this. So I recommend having fun. He says, I recommend having fun because there's nothing better for people in this world than to eat, drink, and enjoy life. And that way they'll experience some happiness along with all the hard work God gives them under the sun. Solomon is saying, look, folks, I have seen it all. Nothing is, you know, fair. Nothing works out the way that it should. Most of the things that we get all worked up about are actually pretty meaningless in the end. And he says, when I weighed it all out, here's the conclusion I'm coming to. Enjoy your life as long as there is something to enjoy. Okay? This isn't it. This isn't all that Solomon has to say on the matter. At least four other times throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon drives home the very same conclusion about enjoying life as it comes to us. And four times he then clarifies for us how and why we can live this way so unapologetically. Okay, so here's what I want to do. First, I want to read those four things. Four other times, at least, he talks about this. So first, I want to read those four things that he says about enjoying life. And then I want to go back and I want to look at how he finishes each four of those recommendations, okay? So we're going to start in chapter 2 now to look at what Solomon continues to say about this life. And here's what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. So I decided, he's always deciding, he's always recommending based on everything he's experienced and telling us. He says, so I decided there is nothing better than to enjoy food and drink and to find satisfaction in work. Ecclesiastes 3, 12 and 13. So I concluded there is nothing better than for you to be happy and enjoy yourselves as long as we can. And people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor. Ecclesiastes 5, 18 and 19. Even so, okay, after everything I've experienced, after everything I said is not worth it, he says, even so, I have noticed one thing at least that is good. It is good for people to eat and drink and enjoy their work under the sun during the short life God has given them and to accept their lot in life, accept what God has kind of laid out before them. And it is a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it. Interesting, right? Can Christians have this kind of good life? He says, hey, it's a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it, to enjoy your work and accept your lot in life. And then very matter-of-factly, he says it like this, Ecclesiastes 7:14, enjoy prosperity, not prosperity gospel, a good life he's talking about. Enjoy prosperity while you can. Okay? Solomon is making a pretty striking case. I mean, maybe you're not even sure what to think of this so far. Maybe you're kind of shifting in your seats. He's making a pretty striking case that we can and should be living the good life as much as we can, as long as it lasts. Live it up, he's saying. Live it up. Enjoy it to the full, to the max. But like I said at the beginning, we can do so. We can live it up. We can enjoy life to the max unapologetically on one condition. On one condition that I think changes something in us. One condition that Solomon emphasizes for us each and every time that he says to enjoy the life we've been given. So let's rewind now and look back at each of the things that he says in full to see what he is really saying, to see what he might be saying to us today. Okay? Ecclesiastes 2, 24. So I decided there's nothing better than to enjoy food and drink and to find satisfaction in work. Then I realized that these pleasures are what? Are from the hand of God. Ecclesiastes 3, 12 and 13. So I concluded there's nothing better. Be happy, enjoy ourselves as long as we can. We should eat and drink, enjoy the fruits of our labor. Why? For these are gifts from God. Ecclesiastes 5, 18 and 19. Even so, I have noticed one thing at least that is good. Good for people to eat and drink, enjoy their work. He said, it's good for people to accept their lot in life. It's good for people to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it, to enjoy their work, to accept your lot in life. Why? Because this, all of this, is indeed a gift from God. Ecclesiastes 7:14. Enjoy prosperity while you can. But when hard times strike, realize, some translations say, consider this. When hard times strike, consider this, that both come from God. Enjoy prosperity while you can. You just got to realize something about it. It is a gift from God. So we put all this together. Here's what I think that we learn about any season in life, any moment, no matter how long it lasts. Here's what I think we learn about this life, that we can enjoy life. We can enjoy the good times that come. We can enjoy the prosperity that might come into our life unapologetically as long as we realize one thing. A good life is always a gift and never a guarantee. We can enjoy a good life that we are experiencing, whether it's for a day or for a week or a year or a decade. We can enjoy it unapologetically as long as we realize that it is always a gift to us and never a guarantee. The point that Solomon is trying to make in the entire book is that nothing works the way we think it should. That we don't deserve this life because we're good people or because we work hard or because we followed all the rules or because we're the wisest people that have ever lived or because whatever reason we think that we might deserve a good life. It's not a guarantee that we experience it at all. And if we do experience it, it's not a guarantee that it lasts, right? It's a moment that very possibly could pass as well. But Solomon gives us the green light. He gives us the thumbs up to enjoy it as long as there is life to enjoy, so long as we realize it's a gift from the hand of God himself. And I think that when we truly understand, I'm talking, we really get it, when we really comprehend that a good life is a gift, I think something changes in us. I think something should change in us. For anyone experiencing a good life of real, health and prosperity right now, here's the change that I wish that we would make, that we would no longer be prepared to give the right excuse for it, but that we would be prepared to give the right person credit for it. Right? If we're experiencing something great right now, I hope that we would really come to understand that it is a gift from God. And we no longer have to be prepared to give the right excuse for it. We don't have to give the right excuse for it, but we better be prepared to give the right person credit for it. If life is good right now, if life is good today or this week or this month or this year, enjoy it. Don't feel bad about it. Don't try to justify it. Just find a way all the time to give the right person credit for it. Here's why I think that we need this kind of reminder to give the right person credit. Because I think that we have what I would call, and I'm just making this up just so you know, okay? I think that we all have what I would call selective spirituality. I think that's what we have selective spirituality. You've probably heard of selective hearing before, right? You have this magic ability that your kids have to only hear the things that they want to hear. You know that, right? Hey, kids, clean your room. Radio silence. Hey, kids, ice cream's ready. What'd you say, Dad? We were coming right here, right? Selective hearing. They only hear what they want to hear. I think the same thing happens with spiritual things too. We have this magic ability only to think about God or spiritual things when it kind of works out for us. Here's how that works, I think. When life is great, this is what this looks like. When life is great for so many of us, I think we assume it must be because who's pretty great? We are. When life is great, it must be because we're pretty great. God, who needs God right now? Who needs God when I'm so amazing, when I'm so smart, when I'm so handsome and charming and witty, when I have such a great job, and when I make so much money? Who needs God in that season of life, right? Okay, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I think that you see what I'm getting at. When life is great, I think it's so easy to just assume it must be because we're pretty great. I got the job, I got the girl, I got the good life, I got the good fill in the blank. But then what happens when life isn't so great? Well, that must be because God isn't so great. Right, that rough patch I'm in right now, well, yeah, that must be God's fault. If he was a good God, I wouldn't be experiencing this right now, right? When life is great, it must be because we're pretty great. But when life isn't so great, that must be because God's not. I really think this is a common story for so many people today. Common in big things, common in little things. And just in case you're going, what exactly are we getting at? Let me see if I can just paint a little picture of just a small thing of what this looks like in our life. Small thing, okay? A lot of you know that I play quite a bit of basketball at the YMCA in town. We play 5-on-5, okay? So if your five wins, you keep playing. And when my team wins, when we're rolling, when things are clicking for us and when we're winning and playing more and more games, these silly thoughts start to creep into my head. Man, I bet my teammates are glad I'm on their team. We just keep winning. You start thinking like, man, I bet they're really glad I'm on my team. Somehow I'm being serious here. Like the silly stuff that goes on in your head. Somehow I start to convince myself That even if I didn't like score every basket myself, somehow when you look back, when you rewind it all, somehow you see yourself like intricately involved in every single play at least that contributed to the points that your team scored. I'm going like, man, my team is lucky. They're probably glad I'm on their team. And then when we lose, I'm like, it's all their fault. Bunch of idiots. I mean, how am I supposed to win with these guys, right? They can't even make a layup. They can't even make a pass, right? When things are good, it must be because I'm pretty good. But when things ain't so good, then what? Look, how am I supposed to do this with these guys on my team? I hope, I don't know if this is making any sense, right? I think we do that kind of thing on a bigger scale in our life, right? If life is good, it must be because we're pretty good. But then when life isn't very good, then all of a sudden we switch, and it must be because, well, yeah, God's really not that good. If he was, I wouldn't be experiencing this right now. And I just wish that that wasn't the conclusion that we drew. I wish we had a greater trust. I wish we had a greater confidence that in all seasons, God had a reason for doing what he was doing. I wish that in all seasons, we knew that God was working for the good of those who love him. In fact, right before Solomon says in that last verse, Ecclesiastes 7, right before he says, hey, enjoy prosperity while you can, he says this. He says, accept the way. Here's what I've learned. Accept the way that God does things, for who can straighten what God has made crooked? Right? We don't know why God does what he does. We don't know why he does it, when he does it. But if both seasons come from God, then I'm going to trust that he knows what's best for me in the midst of it. And I hope you would do the same. And that starts with a shift, that we would no longer feel like we have to have the right excuse. Well, yeah, it was just that we don't have to have the right excuse for anything good that we have in life. I just hope that we'd start to give the right person credit for it as often as we can. Don't give the right excuse. Just give the right person credit as often as you can. Because I think when we start to give credit away, when we give credit away for the good life that we have, for the good gifts that we receive, for the good things that come our way, when we give credit away for these things that we don't deserve, I think something happens in us. I think the posture of our heart starts to change. Right? When we know that we're not the ones, pulling the strings, when we know that we're not the ones calling the shots, when we know that we're actually not guaranteed anything, we can try to be as smart and as wise and whatever we want, but when we know, really understand that we're not the ones calling the shots, I think something changes inside of us and we start to look at the good things that have been given to us in a whole new way. Number one, I think we start to live with a deeper sense of gratitude for the good that we have, for the good life that we experience. We become more thankful and more grateful people. Folks, gratitude is so, so, so good for our souls. And when we really understand that, man, this is a gift to us, that I get to experience this right now, I think we become more grateful people. Number two, I think when we receive a good gift or a good life that we do not deserve, I think we just flat out become more thoughtful and more intentional about how and when we enjoy the good things that come our way. Right, what we have or what we've been given, it becomes pretty special. And I think something that we enjoy just a little bit differently. I talked a few weeks ago about how I hold on to gifts that are given to me. I got some like hoarding problem with gifts or something. I don't know. And whether that's good or bad that I hold on to these things, I think I do it just out of this sense that I'm like, man, this is special. This is special that I get this, that I have a chance to experience this. I don't exactly know when I might get something like this again or if I ever will. And so I want to use it in a way that is pretty special too. I get a lot more thoughtful. I get a lot more intentional with the good that comes my way. And I hope that would be the case for any good life, for any good season that we might be experiencing right now, that we would be grateful people, that we become more thoughtful people and intentional people with how we enjoy the good life that God has allowed us to experience. I hope that we would be quick I hope that we will be quick as people not to give the right excuse for the good things that we experience, but I hope that we will be quick to give the right person credit for it constantly. So if life is good for you right now, like I said, it might be a good day, it might be a good week, it might be a good month, it might be a good year, it might be a good decade. I don't know. If life is good for you right now, don't apologize for it. Just find a way in your everyday life to give God credit for it. Right? If your marriage is good right now, don't get all modest about it. Well, I don't know. Don't get modest. Be grateful for it. Wake up and give God thanks every day for it, and then find a way to give God credit for it. Right? If you've got a good job and a good salary right now, don't get too proud about it. Don't get too, puffed up about it. Just find a way to give God credit for the good gift that he is allowing you to experience. If your faith is alive right now, I mean, you're just like, man, things are clicking. You are in step with God. If you feel like God has just blessed you in life, don't feel bad about it. I mean, the truth is that's not always the case for everybody. That not everyone feels like, man, things are just clicking with God. And so sometimes when it is for us, we feel bad about that. Don't feel bad about it. Don't feel bad if God has been good to you. Don't feel bad if you are, lock and step with God. Don't feel like you have to pretend that it's not as good as it is. Just look for every opportunity that you have to give credit to the one person who gave his life away so that you could enjoy the life that you have. Be thankful, be grateful, be thoughtful, be intentional with every good thing that you have because it is a gift and it is not a guarantee. And you can enjoy that gift unapologetically without having to give an excuse for it. You just have to take advantage of every opportunity to give the right person credit for it. And I, for one, get excited. I get excited about this kind of opportunity for you and me. I get excited about this opportunity for us as a church at Midcurrent because truthfully, I believe that God has been good to some of us, to many of us. God's been good to us. And I get excited about the opportunity for more and more of our neighbors and more of our coworkers and more of our friends and more of our family to see God get credit for the good things that we experience. I get excited for more people in our lives to see, less of us in all things and more of God. I get excited for people to see a bigger deal made about God at all times rather than a bigger deal made about us. And I can only imagine what would happen in communities like ours. I can only imagine the spiritual, revival. I don't use big words like that often. I can only imagine the spiritual revival that could sweep across Hudson, that could sweep across River Falls and Baldwin and Somerset and New Richmond and Spring Valley and Ellsworth and Prescott. I can only imagine how that could start to shift when more and more of us were so quick not to point to ourselves, not to point to someone or something else, but that we are quick to point to God in all seasons of life, to point to a God who is working all things out for our good. We don't have to have an excuse. We don't have to give the right excuse for the good life that we might experience, for the good season that we might be in right now. We just have to give the right person credit for it. That's going to be my prayer for me, and that's going to be my prayer for you and for us. And I'm going to close right now with that very prayer. God, we give you thanks for this morning, and God, the truth is, we do experience kind of the ups and downs. We're talking about the seasons and the moments in life that come and go. And yeah, some are tough. And we want to trust you in the middle of those. God, we want to know what it is that you want to do in us in the midst of those seasons, God. But the truth is, there are other seasons of life that are good. And sometimes it's easy to feel like, well, no learning to be done here. Right? Nothing I need to know right now. Things are clicking. Life is good, God. But I pray that you'd help us to know, to be more mindful that the good that we experience, God, is a gift from you because you are a good God that cares for us and that loves us and wants to experience some real joy, some real, some real good things in this life that you've given us, God. And I pray that each of us here would find a way, God, for however long the good comes into our life, I pray that you'd help us to find a way to enjoy that, to live into that unapologetically. But that we would live into that with more and more gratitude, God. That we would live into that constantly finding a way to give you credit for it, because we know that all good things come from you, God. And so we give you thanks for it. And we pray that more and more people would see you, God. More and more people would experience you, because we are so quick to point to you when things are good and even when things are not, God. We know that all things are from you and they're meant for our good. And so we pray, God, that more people would see you and how good you are because of the lives that we live, because of the gratitude that overflows from us. So God, we're praying that you would help us to be people that live this way, constantly giving you credit for the good God that you are. We pray these things in your name. Amen.